an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. NFL Lunch here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. We talked about this a little bit during Buy or Sell. Trey Hendrickson said he will not play in 2025 under his current contract. Showed up at street clothes today. Spoke to reporters and basically said they have not had, he and the Bengals, any discussions about an extension since the offseason started.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, if you're Hendrickson, you're not going to go into anything. You know, I mean, you're coming off, you've back-to-back 17-sack seasons, and they don't want to pay you, you know, because he's 30 years old, and they told him that he would. I mean, if I'm the player, I feel, like, totally pissed off about that. So, but they may say, hey, our defense sucked last year, and we had you.
But what's the next move? Because it seems like he's not going to...
No, he's not budging this time. Yeah. Last time he caved. No, this time he's pissed now. So it's up to the Bengals. That's what the next move is. It's up to the, you know, it's up to the Bengals to come to the table with, sounds like, with more money. Otherwise he's just going to sit there. Otherwise, you know, if I'm his agents, trade me.
And the market, I would assume, would be pretty
damn strong for him. Yeah.
Depending on monies, for sure. Let's see. Now the schedules. NFL schedules, there have been some games announced. And the Ravens, again, I keep hitting refresh to the point I'm going to get carpal tunnel syndrome before 2 o'clock today. Just like the Weather Channel, by the way. But anyway, anywho, Vinny, there are some games announced and some pretty epic matchups, at least on paper. As we know, none of this will mean jack squat moving forward if some of these teams are beset by injuries.
Well, we have a lot of international games that will be interesting, Bob. I mean, September 28th in Dublin, Ireland, Minnesota's playing the Steelers.
Rematch of Super Bowl IX.
And then the next week, October 5th, it's in London. We have London 3 weeks in a row. So we got, what, 9:30 kickoff,
right,
for a month in a row? It's Minnesota-Cleveland. So Minnesota just going to stay over there, stay for a couple weeks. Then the next week, October 12th, Denver and the Jets play. And then October 19th in London, Rams and Jacksonville. I'm shocked that Jacksonville only has one in London.
Yeah, they're the de facto home team over there, right?
And then we go to Berlin, November 9th. Berlin, Atlanta, and Indy. We played in that one, you know, I mean, when it was preseason games. That's a cool place. And then November the 16th, it's in Madrid, Washington, and Miami. And then, Bob, we have Thanksgiving. Right now, we have no games. You know, we have Detroit and Dallas at 1-4. That's the only. Black Friday, Eagles Bears in Chicago.
That's a good game.
Oh yeah,
I think the Bears will be much improved here in 2025.
And then November the 10th, Philly Green Bay. They've announced that Monday. I think it's a Monday night.
Okay, playoff rematch.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then we've got Saturday, December 20th. When colleges are done and the NFL takes over Saturdays. Times to be announced, but the two games are Philly at Washington, Green Bay at Chicago.
Okay. Traditional rivals in both of those games. Mm-hmm.
Then Christmas evening, we have Denver at the Chiefs. And then we have two empty slots for the 1 and 4 o'clock games.
And there are the Netflix games, right? The 1 and 4, then Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Is the Christmas night game. And again, it gets back to what we think the Ravens are going to do. They're going to get the maximum amount of primetime games.
You got to.
And they're going to get they'll get a couple standalone games. It's my prediction. And we can talk about it more Thursday because we'll know by then. But they'll open at Buffalo on Sunday Night Football or Monday night. It'll be one of the two. And then Thanksgiving could bring a Steelers sort of,
I think, Bengals
feel. Because they're, if Kansas City's all in three straight Christmases, then maybe the Ravens will be that team.
I mean, how could you put, I mean, right now, Bob, with Pittsburgh's quarter, you know, if quarterback situation.
Screw them.
Cincinnati, I could definitely see.
Because it's going to come down to Baltimore and Cincy, I think, for the division, right? Yeah. Trey Hendrickson drama aside.
Yeah, and what their defense, you know, if that.
A&M. Joe Burrow threw 9 touchdown passes against the Ravens last year and lost both games.
Right.
So you think they. And then he got hurt a couple years ago, hurt his wrist throwing a touchdown pass against Baltimore. Andrews got hurt that game, too.
And if I'm not mistaken, Bob, every year Joe Burrow's been quarterback, first month of the season, they got a losing record.
Oh, they laid it. It was New England last year.
Oh, yeah.
I lost money on those bleepity bleeps. But Ravens, if they play Christmas, it'll be a home game. John Harbaugh's head would pop off his shoulders if the NFL sticks them on the road 3 straight Christmas.
Well, yeah, because they stuck them in San Fran and then in Houston.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 2 of the longer flights.
Yeah, and they won blowout style, 31-2 last year, I think it was, over the Texans. But the Ravens are going to get their share of games. And even if they don't get the traditional primetime game, a lot of 4:25-ish sort of stuff. You got Detroit, you got the Pack.
How many 1 o'clock do they get?
Last year they only had 3 or 4. I think they duplicate that.
Yeah,
Cleveland will be one of them. Cleveland, if not two of them, yeah. But 1 o'clock home games?
Do they play the Jets?
Yes.
That'll be a 1 o'clock.
Yeah, but 1 o'clock M&T Bank Stadium games might be few and far between.
Yeah, I agree with that one. When most players, management, everybody, Bob, they love the 1 o'clock games. They love the 1 o'clock games. Because why? You're home at a decent hour. You know, that was what was nice about being on the West Coast. When I was in San Fran, every home game was 1:30, you know, which was 4:30, you know, so we were the 4:30 game, but it was 1:30 California time.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch. So we'll know more about the Ravens schedule here moving forward over the next couple of days, and we'll see how things unfold. Ravens' strength of schedule based on opponents is in the top 10.
Yes.
But that's all based on records in 2024. And there's going to be a team that they play this year that wasn't good last year that'll probably become a little more competitive than at least we think they will be.
They play Chicago, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Chicago may be one of those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it. I could see the Bears certainly ascending. Maybe Minnesota descends.
All depends on the quarterback. All depends on J.J.
Let's see what else we got here. Jets, no. Sorry, Q.
Now, if Aaron Rodgers, the schedule's already...
Dolphins, what about Miami? Oh, it depends
when
on...
When you get them.
Yeah.
You know, if you get them late, that's a good thing. And you get them on the road.
Houston will be tough. Yep. New England will be better.
But I think Houston's going to be better this year than they were last.
Yeah, because they were the trendy pick to win the AFC last year. And, you know, they did make the playoffs, won a game. But if there's a team that gets better, New England will be better, but good enough to make you sweat.
No.
At M&T, no. Jets
are in a rebuild.
Yeah. Bears, yes. That's a home game, though. Lions, they might not be as good as they were last year, but they'll be good. Houston will be good. Rams will be good. Bills will be good. Bengals will be tough. At Cleveland, Ravens usually lay an egg there from time to time, including last year. At Lambeau will be tough. At Kansas City, it's going to be tough. Then at Miami. Yeah, the schedule could be a pain in the ass.
Well, if they got Miami early at Miami, Bob, that'll be a tough game.
And if Miami's good, which who knows how they figure out this Tyreek Hill drama.
Yeah, you're right there.
And if Tua can stay healthy and if he's motivated, Hill, that is. I don't know. we'll see how it goes. But we'll talk all schedule for you in full effect on Thursday. When we come back, we'll talk about the American League East. Only a couple of games in the division. A couple of games. One went well for a division foe. The other, not so much. So we'll talk about that. Full slate of games tonight. Orioles taking on the Twins. Talk about that matchup as well. Talk about Minnesota on fire here. Patrick Roycey from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Maybe ask him a Vikings question as well. Are they all in on JJ? JJ McCarthy, that is.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. What's happening, everyone? Orioles tonight scheduled to take on the Minnesota Twins. Cade Povich on the hill for the Birds, 1-3 with a 5.55. Simeon Woods Richardson, 2-2 with a 4.01 for the Minnesota Ball Club. Winners of 8 in a row. Twins are 6-14. On the road, so they've been doing a lot of damage in Minnesota, like last week when they swept the Orioles 3 games. Cade Povich, as we just talked about with Rakabako, probably in it for the long haul in the rotation. I mean, he's lefty. Trevor Rogers is working his way back from Norfolk, no longer in a rehab situation, now just trying to pitch and prove that he can get people out. But Povich, I mean, we see the craftiness, we see a little more pace on that fastball than a guy. He looks like a guy that doesn't throw 95 miles an hour, and he can yank it up there to mid-90s from time to time. Gets kind of clobbered there a little bit, but he keeps you in games, gives you innings. He could just benefit, like most Oriole pitchers, from a little run support as well. Orioles coming off a 2-4 road trip through Minnesota and then taking 2 out of 3 from Anaheim. 7-3 on Sunday. So the Orioles get out of there with a series win, and they accomplished a bunch of things. They won a series on the road, which they haven't done. Beat a lefty, which they've rarely done. And won on a Sunday, which they hadn't done, which was mind-boggling because I didn't really know that that was a thing. Gunnar Henderson went deep. Adley, he had a couple of knocks, including the sun-aided triple. Maverick Hanley, congratulations to him. Picked up his first 2 ribbies as a major league player. Zach Gutfeld gets the win. 5 strong. Coming off the IL. Now, limited schedule in the American League East last night, but there were a couple of games, including the Red Sox taking on the Tigers, and things did not go well for the Beantowners there.
Trey, fly ball, right field. Abreu back at the track, at the wall. That went up and over and back in. It's a home run. Trey Sweeney sends it up and out. It was over the yellow line. It is 9-0.
FanDuel on the call there. Trey Sweeney, 3-run. Jack Labor Torres went deep as well. Baez and Riley Green both had 2 ribbies. Detroit, 14-2. You heard 9-0 there. That thing got out of control for the Red Sox. Jackson Joe picked up his 3rd win of the season. He's undefeated on the year. Late last night out in Seattle, Yankees taking on the Mariners. Remember, Seattle just got swept by the Toronto Blue Jays. Yankees took 2 out of 3 from the A's. So they come in with the whipping sticks, and Trent Grisham spoke the loudest last night.
Cracks it again, high and deep, center field. Julio going back, and he'll run out of room yet again. Way up and out of here for Trent Grisham. 2nd home run of the night, and we're tied again at 2.
Yes, Network on the call. That thing got out of control big time. Yankees win 11-5. Julio Rodriguez had 1 ball bounce off his glove. A little Bad News Bears style over the fence for a homer. Grisham, 2 bombs. Volpe and Wells also go deep. And Aaron Judge, I mean, what can you say about this guy? 2-for-3. He's now hitting .414.
Damn.
.414 on the season. Clark Schmidt gets the win. Cal Raleigh did hit his 13th homer for the Seattle Mariners, but 11-5. Was your final score there. Today, tonight, Red Sox and Tigers, game 2 of that series at 6:40. Rays at the Blue Jays, interdivision matchup there, 7:07. Yankees back at Seattle, 9:40. And, of course, the Twins are here in Baltimore taking on the Orioles, 6:35. First pitch standings in the American League East and beyond. New York, 24-17. They won 2 in a row, 6 of 10. They're 3 games up on Boston. Toronto, 4 in a row. They've won. They're 3.5 out. Tampa's 5.5 back. They've lost 6 of 10. Like the Orioles, Orioles are 8 games off the pace. Run differential, -65. By the way, Yankees, Red Sox, the only teams in the division with a positive run differential. In the Central, the Tigers, they're doing well. They're 2.5 up on Cleveland. Detroit's 27-15 on the year. 2.5 on Kansas City as well. Minnesota coming in red hot, winners of 8 in a row. They're 5.5 out. The White Sox, well, you know, they're better than last year. Look for a positive. They're, well, not much better. 12-29, 14.5 out. Out in the AL West, Seattle's lost 4 in a row, but they're still in first place. Game and a half up on the A's, Astros, and Rangers. Texas has won 3 in a row. They're both 2 back. In the Angels, they're 5 out. Angels beat San Diego last night. The Mets, they're 2.5 up on Philadelphia. The Braves are 6.5 off the pace, creeping closer right around that 500 mark. Are the Atlanta Braves. Washington's 10 back. Marlins are. Washington's lost 6 in a row. Miami's 11 off the pace. Cubbies game up in the Central over the Cardinals, who have now won 9 straight. St. Louis, what's up with the Cardinals? I just don't feel it. I'm not digging it. And here they are. Game out of first place. Brewers and Reds both 4 off the pace, and the Pirates struggles continue for them. They lose last night walk-off style to the Mets. They're 10 out. They've already fired their manager. And the Dodgers out west, game and a half up on the Pods, as they are affectionately known, 1.5. Giants are 3.5. They've lost 4 straight. And the Diamondbacks are 5.5 off the pace. And just, I mean, I don't know what to say. We sit here on May the 13th, 4 days from the Preakness. NFL schedule comes out tomorrow, right? Got Stanley Cup NBA playoffs into the second rounds. Draft lottery was yesterday. And they're 20 games out of first place. 20 games out of first place. 7-34 on the year. One of the worst 40-plus game starts we've seen in the history of Major League Baseball. But as we said, the Minnesota Twins, they're on fire. And joining us next on the Window Nation guest hotline is Patrick Royce, longtime columnist for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. So what's turned it around for the Twins? And we'll talk about the Vikings last year, surprising everyone by having a great regular season. And then Sam Darnold turned into Sam Darnold in the regular season finale. And then in the playoff loss. So what are the prospects looking like in a very tough division that is the NFC North? Minnesota T-Wolves about to stick a fork in Golden State, winning on the road last night. Here to talk about all of those subjects, if he's inclined to do so, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline, the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Let's welcome to the show for the first time, Mr. Patrick Royce. Patrick, thanks for joining us here in the Charm City.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One of my favorite towns in my days as a beat writer way back when, Baltimore. I love that place.
What's up, so. Pat?
All right,
long
Patrick.
Time.
Yeah, let's start with the Twins here, if you don't mind, as they won 8 in a row next to the Cardinals, I guess, now the hottest team in baseball. Now, here in Baltimore, a lot of hype sucks. Elias needs to go. They didn't do enough to build on the last couple of years, blah, blah, blah. Before the 8-game winning streak, Patrick, how were Twins fans feeling about Baldelli and the rest of the team?
I don't know. There's some fans. Rocco was not. I mean, there's some fans that don't like Rocco. But the team, you know, going back to last year when they finished 12-27, on September 5th, they had a 95% chance to make the playoffs, and they finished fourth. And it was quite a collapse. So the fans got mad at ownership for not spending money. Isn't that a shock? And then this spring, with the Timberwolves going good, the Wild were playing well and went in the playoffs, and the Vikings are always owning the town, you know. People were just kind of either down on them or ignoring them. The crowds were terrible. They had a series here with the Mighty Whiteys that I think had the 3 smallest crowds they've ever had, and much smaller than what they were announcing in Target Field. So they were down on them, and I think everyone is – it's not like the city's going crazy about this 8-game winning streak. They're just – I think everyone's kind of shocked. Now, what they do have is good pitching. You know, they got 3 really good starters. They got 2 okay starters. And the bullpen's deep and really good. And you had that lefty, Colome, right? You had him.
Coulomb. Yeah, Danny Coulomb.
He hadn't given up a run this year. He's unbelievable for him. And he's not their, you know, he's one of their 5 guys that they bring in when they're trying to protect a lead. So, yeah, the bullpen's good. But I've been down on him something fierce. I still don't like the lineup. Now, the biggest thing that's happened is, 2 years ago, Buxton was could only DH. They told us because his knee was so bad, and he was a terrible DH. He hit 215, I think, and struck out all the time. And last year, he played okay for a while and then got hurt again. Well, he went and had a minor knee surgery and for about the third time, and so far it's worked, and he's playing great. He's an all-star. He's making catches. He's running the bases. The other day, if you can see a tape of the triple that he hit the other day, it's unbelievable. He goes from the plate to third base in about 15 steps. He's got this big, long stride. So that's probably been the biggest shock of the season, and the fact that they found a way to get over 500 at the quarter pole, which surprised all of us.
Yeah, Buxton gave the Orioles the blues when they were there last week. But look at that division, Patrick. You got Detroit, they're on fire. Maybe the best team in the American League right now. Guardians are always playoff worthy. The Royals, like the Tigers, a young team ascending. If Minnesota's kind of clanking around once we get to trade deadline stuff, is there wherewithal within the organization to make a move that ensures they don't have a September of 24 toilet flush there like they did last year?
They got on the poll ad something fierce, the public, and then they knocked the owners. They've owned it since 84. And then the family, and then they were on them fierce, and then the Poleds announced in, late October that the team would be for sale. They don't have anything close now. There was Ishbia or somebody was supposedly talking with him, and then he decided to take a 35% stake in the White Sox. He's the guy, that's the family, they own the Phoenix Suns, and everybody was excited about that team, and now they're in salary cap hell, and they didn't make the playoffs. So everybody was excited about the Ishbia might drive the team, but we never heard of them, but all of a sudden we were excited. But they're not going to go out and if somebody's floating around for and they can get them for half price, they might. I think it's way too early to worry about that with this collection. So
hey, Pat, what about the Vikings? J.J. McCarthy, is there a lot of – they got to have belief in J.J., if they let Darnold go, correct?
Well, yeah, and Darnold, the last two games of the season, he kind of – I don't know how much money he cost himself. I mean, he got a nice contract, but he was awful in Detroit and with the Rams. I don't know if it was him or the offensive line just was a sieve that day against that team. So yeah, I didn't think he was ever coming back. Yeah, they drafted this guy. They traded up for him, McCarthy. They like him a lot. And I think what'd they do for a backup? Sam Howell now is who they brought in as a backup.
Howell.
People, I was just terrified they might end up bringing back Cousins, who I can't stand. So, because Atlanta's, you would only had to pay him $1 million because Atlanta's on the hook for all the money. But, I guess they're going to go with him. And they went out and redid their offensive line, the interior of their offensive line. They drafted their first round draft was a big lineman. Then they signed two guys from the Colts for their offensive line. So they're they got really good tackles, Darisaw and O'Neal. So they, their big thing is, getting themselves seven offensive linemen because that's how many you need because two of them are going to get hurt, right, during the year. Yeah. So I really think that, I don't know. Everybody, here, this is typical town. We all, we grumble a little when they get beat, but the people love the Vikings and give them a lot of excuses. And they think Ziggy Wilf is a hero because he spends to the cap. Well, everybody in the NFL spends to the cap, you morons, and they're making – They're making $250 million a year, and now they want us, in this new stadium, they want us to give them $20 million a year to keep it updated every year for their new stadium. The guy's one of the great grifters of all time, but he bought that team for $600. It's worth $5 billion now, but hey, oh, Ziggy's a hell of an owner, and these poll ads are cheap, so they drive him crazy, but anyway.
Hey, Pat, are the people excited about Dublin and London in September and October?
I think if you got some money, that might be fun. It's good for the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings, this was one of those years when they had 8 home games and 9 road games. But now they get, 8 home games, 2 neutral site games, and 7 road games. So that makes the schedule easier. The word was out that this was going to be the schedule a week ago or so. So I think so. When they played in London a few times, people show up, I guess. They get people basically sell their cars, sell their kids, and pay to go over there to see the Vikings. It is a definite cult. They are the heroes of the town. There's no doubt about it. And people, we used to, those of us who are old grew up with the 4 Super Bowl losses. So
that's
we're
me.
In the 70s,
I did that too, Pat.
In the 70s, and we're the fatalists, we're the fatalists. But then Randy Moss came along in 98, and that kind of changed. Now we got to put up with these damn optimists. I can't stand them. But anyway, we got millions of them. And of course, 98 was the worst loss in the history of football when they lost to the Falcons at home. I can still hear the crowd cheering mightily at Gary Anderson's field goal until they realized it missed. It missed by a foot to the left, the only kick he missed all year. That was great, man. That was a great, great moment. Everybody here had these little flags on the cars, right? I suppose you got them out in Baltimore, too, these little team flags that drive around with your car in the windows. Well, after that game in 98, I'm walking back to our office, which was nearby. And there's a big parking lot there, and all these flags are laying in the mud. These people threw them out. That's one of the great sights ever. I couldn't believe it. There were 100 flags in the mud out there.
Hey, Pat, that's when Foge Fazio called me right after the game, and he was so pissed at Billick for trying to go get a job and throwing a ball all the time instead of protecting the lead they had in the first half.
Yeah, that's right. They were. We got Billick. Billick took the fall for that. But hey, he had a chance to get a job, and he was an offensive genius who won a Super Bowl with great defense, which is very interesting.
Yeah, the offensive genius brought in Scott Mitchell. I remember the first thing he said: "Take a leap of faith." Okay, we're good. But he did win the Super Bowl. Patrick Royce, Patrick, we appreciate the time, Indianapolis Star Tribune, and good luck to the Vikings this year. Good luck to the Twins, maybe not this next 3-game set here in Baltimore. And how about them T-Wolves about to stick a fork in the Warriors there, too, in the NBA?
Yeah, that was they played one of the great third quarters of all time last night. In the fourth quarter, they turned it over 12 times. It was a mess of unbelievable proportions. But I'd say the NBA fans here earned their keep, didn't they, with 13 straight seasons without making the playoffs. This is a shock for all of us who followed this lousy franchise all the years. So, okay.
Patrick Royce. Patrick, appreciate the time. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Yep. Goodbye.
There's Patrick Royce, everybody. Boy, you could tell he's a grizzled columnist from way back when. I mean, he talks about the Vikings who lost 4 Super Bowls like they were wow. He's awesome. By the way, he is awesome. There was a day when Baltimore used to have sports columnists. I guess you got to go to the Baltimore Banner to get that stuff now. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. We'll come back. We got a trip through the Funhouse. Inside Access coming up at 2 o'clock. And then Baltimore baseball tonight, live from the studios today because of the weather issues we got. We'll be at Pickles tomorrow, hopefully. So Derek Queen is going to be a lottery pick.
Good for him.
In all likelihood. So Baltimore kid. Certainly put Maryland on the national scale. Unfortunately, his buzzer beater got overshadowed by the coach's antics. Former coach now, Kevin Willard, but still. But the lottery's not fixed, right, Nolan? 1.8%?
It was definitely fixed this year, for sure.
See,
everything lines up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, from the fact that it was Dallas. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but this just stinks to high heaven.
Oh, and the Spurs, like, with Popovich retiring, they get the second pick.
Well, they've been pretty fortunate with their lottery luck recently.
Oh, historically.
They're back-to-back rookie of the year, so they've had premium picks for a while.
Yeah, and then Philly was third.
Mm-hmm.
And they had long shot odds to get into the top four. Right.
They lost their other one, though. That went to OKC.
Right. And then the Siberia of the NBA, or one of them, Charlotte.
Ugh.
They got the fourth pick. But it should be interesting to watch it all unfold. But San Antonio, now you talk about it. I wouldn't trade for Giannis if I'm Dallas. But San Antonio, I might be kind of all in on making a move there. You're going to have to give up probably Stephen Castle in that second pick in the draft that you got. Because Milwaukee, are you rebuilding? Lillard's going to be gone for most of next year. Giannis is 30. Brook Lopez is older. I mean, where's the hope for the future there?
I think it's tricky, though, because you didn't really get
Pat Connaughton
any chance to see an extended run out of Wemby and the guy they traded for from the Kings.
Oh, De'Aaron Fox.
Right. You didn't really get to see them play together at all. So you don't even know what the fit looks like there. And then you go in and throw another superstar on top of that. I mean, that's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. I mean, you know, you're not going to trade for Giannis and then just say, all right, well, you know, you're not going to get as many touches as you did in Milwaukee. Now,
Wemby's got the torn labrum. Is that what it was?
Wemby,
it was like a...
No,
something a little more serious than that.
Yeah. But to the point where he might miss games going into next season.
I don't know.
Deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Expected to return for the start of next year.
Okay. All right.
They're looking for a vet.
There's intrigue. I mean, because they've been out of the playoffs for a while, and I'm guessing they're trying to, San Antonio anyway, get back into it. And you're Philly, because you'll get a good player at three. You know, Embiid stays healthy. Paul George, two older guys. Maxey's a stud. I mean, they could bounce right back into some sort of...
Philly might be ready to blow it up.
You think? I don't know. Daryl Morey was talking about Embiid like he was ready to come back and maybe challenge for MVP. Anywho, anything else on your mind there, Nolan?
He doesn't care, Bob. He owns the Redskins now, so he's happy about that.
Well, Daryl Morey's the GM.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, it just stinks for the Wizards. Because it's like, what more do you have to do?
They're the perennial, right there, middle of the lottery, can't get over the hump kind of team.
And okay, you miss out on the number one pick. All right, the balls didn't go your way, whatever. But to not get second, third, you're all the way down at six? I mean, that just should not happen at all. And the three teams that had the best odds finished fourth, fifth, and sixth. So none of them got a top three pick. I mean, that to me, that's just disaster.
I'll repeat what I said 2 hours ago. What's the best draft in all of sports?
NFL.
And they don't have a lottery.
Well, Bob, I think like the...
Baseball has one now.
The NHL, the ones with the worst records, you can only drop four spots.
See, I'd like to see that tweaking for the NBA.
Now, in the NHL, the number one seed, the Islanders, they were 10. And that's the most you can... You can only move 10 spots is the most you can move, you know, going up.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else... Utah came from 14 to 4. Otherwise, the team that had the worst one, they're 2, and the next one's 3, you know.
Since they flattened the odds in the NBA draft lottery back in 2019, the team with the worst record and the highest odds to win said lottery, none of them have gotten the first pick. None of them. How about that? All right, Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says to place full blame on the Orioles hitting coaches would be wrong. They can only do so much, but definitely part of the puzzle. I'd say it's also just as ridiculous to assume that these guys are having bad luck and will turn it on soon. There's a very real chance that the slumps we've seen for the past 2 months will continue all summer. At that point, coaches are rightfully on the hot seat.
Well, I'm more concerned about the slumps that go back to last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Adley is case in point. And as Rocco Baco pointed out, he had a great spring. And we can attribute last year's fade to injuries, which apparently he didn't have. What's the excuse now? I mean, he's not driving the ball, and he's losing patience at the plate, which was one of his attributes. I mean, his OPS, I mean, this guy was like a George Brett, Rod Carew level eye at the plate. And once you start chasing, then these dopey umps who can't call balls and strikes normally as it is, good hitters get that respect on the close call. Adley's falling into the dude that's going to get rung up on balls, not getting the benefit of the doubt.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you this. You know, like in the end, remember, because we had Lamar's guru on all the
Joshua
time.
Joshua Harris.
Yeah, so we had him, and he was the one who was coaching him all the time. Do these guys, you know, you have hitting coaches, just like the Ravens had quarterback coach. Do they have their own on the side, you know, kind of guy who's calling them?
No idea. Some of them probably have advisors.
I would imagine.
They're around the team, though, for a majority of the year.
Yeah.
From late February through at least September, and then whatever postseason. I mean, there's only so many months of the year you're not around baseball.
Yeah, and there's only so many days off in a season, yeah, too.
Last text of the day. This one says, if the NFL has the Ravens play on Christmas again, I'm going to be pissed off. That's 2 years in a row. That was ridiculous enough, especially with last year being a Wednesday. There's plenty of attractive teams around the league, and by the league's own admission, if there's only one game on at a time, people are watching no matter who's playing. Why does it have to be Baltimore?
Well, because you have a premier guy.
Yes.
You have a guy who's priority watching. It's going to be Ravens-Bengals Christmas 4 o'clock game.
That's a Thursday this year.
Right.
Which, I mean, a Wednesday's a pain in the ass, you know, because...
Well, they were just making crap up for that one.
Yeah.
But this is a regular football day. Ravens-Bengals will be my prediction for the late Thursday afternoon game in Baltimore.
I'll say it's...
And they're going to open in Buffalo either Sunday or Monday night.
I'll say it's Thanksgiving.
5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow for Woman Crush Wednesday. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry Siding and Roofing, as the Orioles get ready for the Minnesota Twins. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.